The World Cup final is today in New York, or at least it was scheduled to be. The NORAD jet scramble over the city this morning is connected to that event. With hundreds of thousands of people gathering for the final, airspace security protocols are at maximum alert, and any unregistered aircraft drawing near the stadium perimeter triggers an immediate intercept response. The severe weather is the more pressing operational concern. The ground stops at JFK, LaGuardia, and Newark created significant disruption for arriving fans.
The World Cup's presence in the United States, this is the 2026 tournament that was jointly hosted with Canada and Mexico, has been a genuinely significant moment in American soccer's development. American teams and fans have been more engaged with this tournament than any prior World Cup on American soil. And the final in New York is the culmination of a month-long event that has drawn record attendance across multiple venues.
Andrew and Tristan Tate were arrested in Miami by U.S. Marshals, which is the story that will generate enormous social media heat, regardless of what else is happening. The Tate brothers have been subject to active legal proceedings in Romania, including human trafficking and rape allegations. And their detention in Miami suggests U.S. law enforcement is coordinating with international partners. Their legal team has consistently argued that the proceedings are politically motivated, a claim that strains credibility given the nature of the specific allegations.
The Tate phenomenon is culturally significant beyond the individuals themselves. Andrew Tate built a following in the hundreds of millions through a deliberate strategy of controversy, misogyny, packaged as self-improvement and anti-establishment posturing. His arrest will immediately become content for his followers, framed as persecution. Understanding that dynamic, how legal accountability gets transformed into martyrdom narratives within certain online communities, matters for anyone trying to understand the current information environment.
Will Ferrell's The Hawk hitting number one on Netflix, despite reviews that averaged somewhere around 22% on Rotten Tomatoes, is a data point about how streaming platform dynamics have completely decoupled from critical reception as a predictor of audience behavior. Critics evaluate based on craft, originality, and thematic depth. Audiences sometimes just want comfort content featuring familiar faces, and Will Ferrell occupies a specific nostalgic niche for a very large demographic.
NYC Mayor Zohran Mamdani walking back his pledge to arrest Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu is a microcosm of the tension between electoral coalition management and governmental reality. Mamdani made the pledge during his campaign when the audience was primarily progressive Brooklyn and Queens voters. Now that he's governing a city whose police department has no authority to execute international arrest warrants and whose law department has told him plainly that he cannot write his own foreign policy, the retreat was inevitable but politically costly.
The Palantir UFO connection is almost satirical at this point. Trump's UFO advisory panel is now proposing that the mysterious orbs people have been reporting might be explained by lasers or lightning. This is the formal expert analysis produced by an advisory structure that was announced with considerable fanfare. Lasers and lightning.
The Supreme Court approval poll, showing nearly half of Americans believe the court rules based on politics rather than law, is the story with the longest shadow. At 49% believing the court is politically motivated, you're approaching a legitimacy crisis for the institution that functions as the ultimate arbiter of American law. The court's authority rests entirely on public acceptance of its decisions as legitimate, not just legally binding. When half the country believes the institution is politically captured, the foundations of constitutional governance become genuinely fragile.
Let's close this segment with our "what if we're wrong" exercise, because I think it's warranted on the biggest claim that's emerged from our geopolitics coverage today. The near consensus among analysts we're drawing from is that Iran's escalation campaign is driving the situation toward a military confrontation with the United States, that the 17th phase of Operation Sehe, the American casualties, and the Hezbollah activation order represent a deliberate Iranian strategy to force a crisis.
But what if that frame is wrong? What if the decision-making we're attributing to a coherent Iranian strategic leadership is actually the output of a fragmented command structure with no unified intent? Think about what we described earlier, the Supreme Leader's absence. Hardliners accusing the government of a soft coup. The IRGC operating with significant autonomy. What if Phase 17 of Operation Sege isn't a deliberate escalation ordered from the top, but rather an institutional program that's continuing on momentum because no single authority has the power or will to call it off?
That's a genuinely important alternative hypothesis. The scenario it implies is actually more dangerous in some ways, not less. A rational adversary escalating deliberately toward a specific negotiated outcome is manageable. You find the right pressure points and offer the right incentives. An adversary whose attacks are the output of institutional inertia without coherent political direction is much harder to deter because there's no clear decision maker to reach.
The key assumption we've been making is that Khamenei's public statement about Trump's signature being worthless reflects an actual policy decision to foreclose diplomacy. The alternative is that it's a face-saving statement for a domestic audience, that it doesn't bind the operational command structure, and that back-channel communication is more substantive than the public posturing suggests. Rand Paul's sanctions proposal, if anyone is actually listening to it, might be landing differently behind closed doors than the hawkish public rhetoric implies.
What to watch for? If the strikes pause for more than 72 hours without a formal ceasefire announcement, that would suggest some internal Iranian brake is being applied, a signal that the inertia hypothesis has some validity. Conversely, if Hezbollah activates in Lebanon within the next 48 hours, it confirms the coordinated escalation hypothesis, and the situation moves into a different phase entirely.